So President Obama had issued his executive order January 22nd that Gitmo would be closed within a year, and we don't have the legal proceedings set up to be able to process them in a way that I have any confidence that we can provide some safety and security for not just the American people, but the people in the free world. The recidivism of those that have been released is significant, and these are the worst of the worst that are left, or we would have let them go by now. I needed to see it for myself, and I wanted to verify the level of humane treatment that they get, the medical treatment that they get, and talk to the officers that are in charge. It's a very, very good trip to see a lot of the full picture of what goes on down at Gitmo.
Well, paint a word picture for our listeners, if you could. What have you seen?
Well, it's a complex of cells that were started out to be communal cells, much like you see in a prison in the United States with stainless steel fixtures and, of course, bars and cages, et cetera. That has been shifted to those that are the worst offenders have to be more isolated as individuals because they're in guards. In fact, about a typical day with a little over 200 enemy combatants there, you'll see about 20 or so attacks on our guards in a single day. So roughly about 8% of the number of prisoners attack our guards on a daily basis, and different ones, of course. But they get about 9 different choices of their Islamic meals that they request. Everybody gets a prayer rug, a skull cap, a Quran, literature. They've got education going on 4 times a week, teaching them English if they choose. They have television, outdoor recreation, soccer, and football, and basketball. And they are, I think they're catered to significantly. When one of them attacks one of our guards, perhaps throws feces on them, what happens every day, and a physical attack with a weapon they might have devised or just simply kicking or slugging, they are the worst punishment that they can get is to have their daily yard exercise time cut down to 2 hours. Nobody goes with less than that. We don't have much of a hook to punish them beyond that. So I saw tremendous restraint on the part of our military personnel. It is part of the culture. They're proud of what they do. It's not an easy duty down there for our troops at Gitmo. But they're about 8 to 10 to 1 guards and to each of the enemy combatants. Their medical care is the same as the admiral gets, is the same as our uniformed personnel gets, and there's about 1 medical personnel for each 2 the detainees at Gitmo. They're being treated humanely. They have access to lawyers. There's public access to the hearings that are going on, but it's very difficult to get convictions when the evidence that's been gathered was gathered in a battlefield that was fighting a war looking forward instead of a criminal court looking backward.
So what do you suggest is the course of action that should be taken?
Well, I'd be for rescinding the executive order that closes Gitmo, and I don't, of course, believe that's going to happen. So my job is to do what I can to mitigate the loss in life that I believe is inevitable. I think this, that If I look forward into the legal structure that's been set up in the executive order, it looks like there is no death penalty waiting for any of them that I can see, nor life sentences. So with one concluded, it's likely that all of them will ultimately be released. Some will be repatriated back to their home countries with a promise from those countries that they'll try not to let them reoffend. That recidivism rate, we know, we've been doing that for some time, and they do come back and kill Americans. But I think that eventually they'll be released somewhere. I think some will be ordered into the United States, perhaps down to Leavenworth, which seems to have the best legal structure to do that. And this will be by federal judges making these orders. And there will be some. They just yet we don't know what to do with them. I'd like to increase the charges down there, so at least when they assault our guards, we can bring charges against them, and then that would be one way to get convictions. But I don't think the White House knows yet. I think they've just decided. I think it was a political conclusion, and now we have to figure out how to accommodate a political conclusion. Oh, by the way, the executive order that ends it closes Gitmo is hanging on a flyboard down there in a common area, written both in Arabic and in English, so that the enemy combatants can read that and be inspired.
Somewhat related news, I don't know if this has reached you this morning, but Russia's Air Force chief said that they're going to base Russian bombers in both Venezuela and perhaps Cuba. The Kremlin, however, said the situation that he was talking about is hypothetical, a technical possibility. But had you heard about the possibility that some Russian aircraft might be based in Cuba?
I had not heard that, and that's very troubling to me. This is my second trip to Cuba, and I think of the Monroe Doctrine, and of course the Cuban Missile Crisis back in the early 60s with John F. Kennedy, and the Russian naval actions that took place in the Caribbean with Venezuela, and thinking about bombers being based in the Western Hemisphere that are Russian, I think that is very, very provocative, and perhaps this is the test that Vice President Biden was talking about when he said that President Obama will be tested within 6 months. The Russians are, I think, very paranoid of the United States power. I have dealt with the Russians to some degree, and the lectures that they give us tell me that they are pushing. Putin is thinking geopolitically, and I am convinced that he's seeking to rebuild some semblance of the former Soviet Union. They want to get their power back. They want to be a superpower again. And when they made all that money off the oil, it turned him into a belligerent dictator. He is a dictator over there now. Their freedom has been significantly diminished in Russia. So I'm very concerned about that. I hope that we have the will to shut that down. We can't tolerate Russian bombers in the Western Hemisphere. There's no need for them here except to be provocative and to empower Venezuela. And by the way, we had a base in Ecuador, a naval base in Ecuador that we lost the lease on. The Chinese have the lease, so they will be building. They'll be building a large naval base in Ecuador in this hemisphere. They already control both ends of the Panama Canal, and our Monroe Doctrine has been weakened substantially.
Right before the Republican convention, you went on a trip to a country that had been invaded by Russia.
I did. I was in Georgia, the day of Georgian solidarity. I met with Saakashvili, the president, and a number of the cabinet ministers. It convinced me the Russians were definitely flexing their muscles, and the international world that pays attention, including the Europeans that live in that neighborhood, recognize that Russia was going to move in on Georgia. When they do that, that's essentially the square on their chessboard through which much of the energy that goes to Europe has to come. And Putin shut off the oil that goes through Georgia. There's about four different conduits of oil and a little more gas, natural gas. He shut that off for several days, and then he turned it back on again. The Germans are susceptible to that. They get 25 to 35% of their natural gas from Russia. They shut off the natural gas to Germany in January to send another message. And so this linkage that's happening, it is Putin thinking strategically and geopolitically to expand his power. And I could just watch it happen. It's like watching a chess game again.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Kay. Maybe if I could just say one more thing about
okay.
Gitmo. And that is, the talk about waterboard, there were three enemy combatants there, the highest value, that were waterboarded. That's a matter of public record. None of that happened at Gitmo. That's never happened at Gitmo. There's not been torture happen at Gitmo. The 800 or so that have been there, there have been five that have died. I asked the question yesterday, and four of them managed to commit suicide. The only one that died of any other causes had refused a colonoscopy about a year and a half before he died of colon cancer. So that should tell you how they're taking care of down at Gitmo, I think, very well.